The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I had my headphones cranked up. I damn near blew my own head off. It is a Friday. You're tuned into the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stapmiller. And on today's program, we're going to shift away from the norm, as if programming on this network is anything normal. It is the truth, the unbridled, and nothing but the truth, so help me, so help me. I have Mark Anderson with me. Hello, Mark.
Good evening, John.
How are you?
Pretty well. Fair to Midland, as they say. brown as a nut, fit as a lamb.
You know, I was just reading over your bio. You know, I knew you were on the network before, but I didn't know for how long. You were on for 4 years before.
Yeah, back in the day a bit. It was 4 years. You know, time flies. I remember getting the call in March of 08. Did I want to give it a shot? And then I went until 2012. I actually dabbled a little after that, but most of it was between 2008 and 2012.
So where have you been, my young wandering man, roving reporter, for, 6 years? What have you been doing?
Well, you're not totally ignorant of that, of course, but if I told you, I'd have to kill you, all sorts of cliches. But, looking into lots of things when I'm not doing non-reporter stuff, I've been trying to sort of push the envelope a little bit in terms of my approach to things, you know, getting everything as firsthand as I can, which isn't always easy on a shoestring budget. You know, we all have billionaire tastes and pauper budgets these days, or maybe that's a slight exaggeration, but that's kind of how it stacks up. Our ambitions outstrip our wallets. Let's just put it that way.
Well, what it does with just about anybody. By the way, billion to a million, that was just inflation. It's okay.
Yeah, right. Like the one Austin Powers movie where he wants to take the world ransom for $1 million, and they have to explain to him that $1 million isn't a lot anymore.
You know, why am I proud to say that I never saw an Austin Powers movie?
I'm not I'll just admit it right here. You okay. Know, I guess we're at the confessional today, so.
Oh, we're going to tell deep, dark secrets, huh? Okay.
Well, not about ourselves. Oh, okay. Only about those to whom $1 million is a small amount of money.
Hey, I didn't realize you had a White House press pass.
No, congressional, U.S. House, not White House.
Okay, well, yeah. I hear there might be a vacancy. Jim Acosta that has accosted so many people in the White House. I think he was court ordered to have his press credentials returned to him. And you know, I really don't understand that. Unless the court is doing that on strictly a First Amendment basis, I'd say fine. CNN wants a reporter here. That's First Amendment. Okay. If that's your position, somebody, get me anybody but Jim Acosta. But it's going to be the same thing.
Yeah, I like how you used his name as a verb, accosted. I thought of that same thing, but I'm going to let you have that one. accosted Trump.
I already have it on the website 2 weeks ago, yeah. So I got you beat.
See, yeah, you beat the HE double hockey sticks out of me.
Yeah, there you go.
So, another CBS reporter was gloating and boasting about the same thing. Someone of the fairer persuasion, I can't remember her name, but it was another situation where they tried a gotcha on Trump, and they said, well, he fled the press conference and didn't want to answer a question. I watched the video. Trump just brushed her off the same way he does every other reporter. He didn't make some special exit like, oh, I got to get out of here. This lady's too hot for me in terms of her questions. It was just his usual cold shoulder that he does every single day. And so they're trying to talk this lady reporter up as the second Acosta, as it were. And she's just asking him, why are you separating children from their parents, which is like an 8-month-old issue now.
Right.
And we've already been through that. Those of us that have a little bit firmer grip on reality, it's not so simple as that they just cavalierly and coldly just rip kids from their parents' hands, that there are legal and logistical matters afoot, and there are reasons there's some SOME separation, but it's not as cold and violent and widespread as they make it sound. But nevertheless, it's a rather passe issue at this point. Here we have the border being stormed, and CBS is reverting back to the issue that was a big headline back in March or February. And so, the accosting goes on. Doesn't mean Trump's the, citadel of truth, but these reporters are trying to make hay out of nothing.
By the way, you and I spoke the other day. Did you look up the thing on Anchor Babies? Could you find a federal law on that?
I didn't have time for that. I'm going to save that for my first show Monday.
Okay.
I should find out what that's about in detail, not just what we basically know about it. And that is, if you're a foreign couple and your baby is born on U.S. soil, then they want to call that an American child. Whereas I think we understand, and I don't think we're wrong about this, and we'll look it up for Monday's show. Maybe you can talk about it the same day, is that if you're an American couple and you go to Finland and the baby is born on Finnish soil, it's an American child, not a Finnish baby.
Well,
or any other country in the world, as far as I know.
You know, I used the example when you and I were talking. I said Russia. And the idea, okay, so, all right, two illegals are in the country. They suck face and bump uglies, and they create a child and squirt it out on U.S. soil. Okay, great. I don't mean to sound so graphic, but yeah, maybe I do. Anyhow, that they did. Well, you know what? That's great. Bring back your child when they turn 18 and they can apply for citizenship. This whole idea is, if you, and it's like the brass ring on the merry-go-round or the whatever. You got to keep reaching for that ring. And the ring is, if you get over the border and you drop a baby here, congratulations, you've got citizenship too. And that goes against the grain of any other country on the face of this planet. So, anchor babies. It seems like the caravan is starting to lose its luster a little bit here. They got gassed on the border. I think that was out in San Diego. There has been this story that's put out, and then it's retracted a tad, then put out again, that we will use live fire on people crashing the border. I don't believe they're going to do that. I haven't heard of any deaths yet. But the Mexican government and the people down in Tijuana, the people that don't live in cardboard shacks and are trying to build something and trying to maintain a standard of living, these people are livid. They said, we don't want them here. And we can understand why the United States doesn't want them either. They're not of this country. So a lot of them have been repatriating. I'm not going to say it's the majority, but they're starting to get the message that there is a lot of resistance. And now resistance is coming from the Mexican government as well. I think they're being paid the airfare. They're being put on airplanes and flown back. And Mark, I've always on this program, I said that I understand why Mexicans, other than Mexicans, want to come to this country. I get it. if I was living in some crap hole third world country and I heard that, hey, you know, in the United States, you can have cable, a six pack of Budweiser, you work hard, keep your nose clean, you can enjoy yourself. I would find that attractive as well. Oh, you mean you get to own guns in that country to protect yourself? Now, mind you, this is not a criminal thinking this. This is just an average citizen. And I get that and I understand it. And in a way, it is a compliment to the United States and her history that so many people wanted to come here. But they came here legally. We got 1.1 million coming into this country right now, quote unquote, legally. And now we're having our borders crashed. Now, I know you've given us a lot of thought. Here we are.
Well, yeah, you think back to Ellis Island in New York, where the majority of European extracted immigrants used to come through. I went there once as a tourist, quite the layout, very impressive. And people used to be screened for diseases. Mm-hmm. You know, there used to be a idea of why they were here, who they were, what they intended to do here. It wasn't just a free-for-all, and would the last one out please close the door or leave the door flopping open in the wind. It's part and parcel of the incredible changes that Western culture has went through. I mean, you name it, right across the board, from art that used to be beautiful art is now modern art, which isn't art at all. In most cases, you've got, you know, just a cultural erosion, you know, no respect for the sanctity of one's home or the sanctity of one's country. And then, you know, of course, those on the left or those on the transnationalist, you know, point of view, they always want to call you a hater, that you hate people. But actually, the real hateful thing to do is to tell people that there are no rules and that whatever they want to do is just fine. That's really what ultimately hurts people and brings about calamity in their lives. Those that are encouraging these people to go all that distance and drag their children 1,600 miles in the company of coyotes and both coyotes, four legs and two legs, and in the company of drug cartels and MS-13 gang members, they are the ones acting hatefully and recklessly toward those who are men, women, and children. Well, it is not those that say, if you want to be a refugee, if you want asylum, do it right. They are not the haters. The haters and the exploiters are the ones that are sending them on this perilous journey.
You know, I'm sure you saw the video clip. I think it was Fox News that was interviewing somebody from Guatemala, and they had an interpreter there. And the Fox News reporter, it really set him back on his heels because this guy was wanted for murder, and he wanted to get in the United States. And it was like, wow. You know, you just in about 12 and a half seconds, they just did what Donald Trump has been talking about, that, you know, not all of these people are criminals, and that's not what he said that they were. He said, but there are a lot of criminals in there. And what did they discover? MS-13 gang members trying to get into the country as well. And here's the irony of the situation. They want to leave because of violence. I've heard this about, you know, El Salvador. I've heard it about, you know, Guatemala, Mexico. It's violent, the drug gangs and this, that, and the other. Well, guess what we got going on in this country, courtesy of what countries? Exactly the same countries. So,
yeah, if they want to just import the violence from one place to another, all you're doing is moving the problem. You're not solving it.
Well, and, you know,
or expanding the problem would be a better.
Exactly. And you know, and again, I feel for the people in Guatemala, you know, Mexico. I really do feel for them. But you know what? If you've got that bad of a situation that you fear for your children, that the crime or the opportunity to earn a living, there's big red flags that there's something wrong with your country and y'all should get together and do something about it. I don't know if you've seen the stories, but there is a city in Mexico, and forgive me, I can't remember the name, that basically threw out the Mexican government and said, we're going to run this place ourselves in our way. It's got a high standard of living, no crime. They have told the Mexican authorities repeatedly, you're not welcome here, get the hell out. Here are people that wanted to create a sound, productive, safe environment. And in spite of the government, they did exactly that. And this is the hope. This is the hope of the people in Central America. Hell, this is our hope here.
Well, exactly. You know, the people are the government. Ultimately, the government is supposed to just be an outgrowth of the will and, you know, sense of purpose and sense of the future and sense of belonging, and the power of the people flowing through the government and producing these attributes that you just mentioned. And so, yeah, I mean, as tough as it is, at some point, those countries are going to have to stop simply having their people leave and plant their flag and say, we're staying, and whoever's causing the trouble, they're the ones that are leaving.
Yeah.
And ultimately, if the U.S. could help bring that about and massage that, that would be the unhateful, loving, humane, noble thing to do. I don't know if Trump has a back channel. The Trump administration, I know that Vice President Pence had went to Central America. They really need to sit him down and say, look, this stuff stops today.
But do you get maybe a sense, Mark, that there is an element of this government that doesn't want it to stop?
Well, yeah, on top of the fact that the media never quite tells you just exactly what's wrong in El Salvador, Guatemala, Belize, and these countries that border Mexico. They say they're fleeing drug violence, they're fleeing gang violence, but they don't get into any specifics. On what days did what things happen? Which exact is it the Gulf cartel or the other one? Who's doing this? What are they doing? What's the government doing about it? They just want to give us the emotional rush of they're fleeing violence. They're almost all innocent. It's men, women, and children. Just let them in. When in fact, this can expand and transfer the violence from there to here. And that's no solution, and it's certainly not brotherly love.
No, it certainly is not. And if Trump really wanted to stick a few feathers in his hat here, he renegotiated NAFTA. I still don't understand, and I still really haven't seen a clean, concise report on what was renegotiated. I'm still waiting for that. But Trump could do something here by jumping the shark, going to Honduras, going to El Salvador, going to Guatemala. Or he doesn't even necessarily have to. They can come here. I think it'd be a better thing to do. But work out a couple of trade deals. Throw these guys some bones. Get a wedge in there, not to send military and police and new weaponry to go shoot bad guys. Support the country and its good people down there with a way to make a living, to stabilize themselves. Yeah, start working on the crime aspect. Yeah, immediately. But don't respond to, you know, the world the way the United States and its empire thinking. They just go in there and Billy Bad Butt, shoot them up, bang, bang, and the problems are gone. We've seen how well that works in the Middle East. So there is much that can be done, and I don't know why. If I was handling, even part-time, Donald Trump's public relations, man, I'd make this guy look like an aged rock star. To many people, he still is. But there's a lot of things this guy can do to counter. When they come out and say, oh, you just want to kill the babies, or you just want to separate the babies from their parents. You know what? I'll say this again, Mark. I've made this statement again before, and I'll do it again. Remember that there were times in this country that we had fireside chats, going back to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Now, without filter of the media and the spin, and I would say this country is in just about the same kind of shape it was in 1929, although it's not that apparent. You don't see the bread lines. No, you get government cheese. No, you don't. It comes in form of credits and checks and whatever else. We have a serious problem in this country with unemployment, but we're at a point where if Donald Trump really wants to bypass the media, he should do an address to the nation, a 30-minute address, once a month. I'm sorry?
I agree.
I'm sorry. I got somebody talking in my ear that's not an invited guest on this program. Huh?
Oh.
I'm going to get one of those little things you paste over your mouth. Do we have any super glue around here? Hang on a second, Mark. I've got to take this break.
We'll address this after the message, Zach.
Okay. We'll be back. Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come in an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Roving congressional and Bilderberg reporter and editor Mark Anderson has returned to Republic Broadcasting. His new show, which began, this is past tense, because this is going to be posted. Is this already posted, by the way? Okay.
Yeah, I did post it on
Wait, not your turn to talk here, Mr. Anderson. Not yet. I'm not done with your bio.
keep firing away. I'll just bask in the glow.
There you go. Yeah, when somebody wants to talk nice about you, you got to let them talk, man. There's too many people out there that want to badmouth everybody. At any rate, begins Monday, December 3rd, called Stop the Presses. It'll run Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. right before Mike Rivero. And that is Central Time. Formerly with the regular RBN host from 2008 through 2012, what you already stated, and the name of the show then, When Worlds Collide. He's known for firsthand coverage of the subversive, influential think tanks and institutions that form the Bilderberg Network. He's also the only alternative news reporter who maintains official credentials to periodically cover U.S. Congress in person. Also known as the Truth Hound, he founded a news association that goes by the name of Stop the Presses. His associated blog is truthhound.com. Facebook page is facebook.com/truthhound. Over the years, he's traveled extensively in the U.S. and abroad while pioneering in-depth research on the global cities movement and on key aspects of monetary reform that typically are overlooked by other alternative media. His little-known role in the JFK research and his conclusion considered many may, in fact, surprise you. Mark, he also continues to broadcast some periodic commentaries on KDSZ, the Twister in northwestern Nebraska. And you started in mainstream media. I like this. In journalism, fresh out of journalism school, college, I've got my pencil sharp and here's my pad. I'm ready to go. You started in 1985 writing and editing for the, for Michigan and Indiana newspapers, including 7 years at the South Bend Tribune. Upon fully graduating to the realm of alternative news in 2002, in the face of significant financial sacrifice we all have doing this, he published his own quarterly, The Herald Republic, for 3 years. He's reported and traveled for the American Free Press in Washington for 12 years, which has also included covering Congress and the shadowy little Bilderberg guys. Mark and his wife, Angie, reside in South Texas in between jaunts to Michigan, Canada, and elsewhere. You're dedicating your new show to the memory of your father, Roy Anderson Jr., who passed away just a couple of weeks ago, Mark. And, you know, I'm sorry for your loss.
I appreciate that, John, both reading that and including that in your readings, that you read it all the way through. Yeah, it happened a couple of weeks ago. Actually, November 10th is when he passed. The funeral was a couple of weeks ago. But it seemed like the right thing to do. And it feels pretty good to look at doing radio again here for a stint. And because there's so much to talk about, American Free Press has went from weekly to every other week. Blogging kind of ebbs and flows, goes up and down a bit, the frequency of the articles that you post. Radio gives me a chance, and I often feel this, to vent and get the reporting out and the commentary out pretty much right away.
Instantaneous.
I like the immediacy of it. You know, there's too many things happening for everything to be a think piece or a thought piece or a, you know, reflecting on the news, even though that's a good thing to do. Sometimes you got to get right out there and take it, you know, take the bull by the horns.
Been doing it for 26 years. It's as natural for me as falling off a log. What really stymies me is when somebody tells me, well, sit down and write a piece for us. Media Bypass did that years ago. They asked me, yeah, make sure it's 750 words, take a few, give a few. It took me 2 days to write that damn article. Now,
yeah, if you're totally used to broadcast and radio, writing becomes rather laborious. That's true.
By the way, I was asked by a caller here. We're going to come up on break here in a minute or two. Listener asked you to ask Mark. I don't know why they didn't come on here and ask themselves, but what happened to Glenn Spencer, American political anti-immigrant activist and president of the American Border Patrol?
I don't know. I don't know who Glenn Spencer is, quite honestly.
It's been a while. He was on this network, interviewed many, many times.
Okay. You would know then. I don't happen to know.
Okay. Well, and it was just a caller asking you, and that's fine to say I don't know. Yeah. And I'm looking at WikiLeaks. He converted his ranch on the Arizona-Mexico border to a high-tech security zone, complete with infrared cameras, aerial drones, and motion detectors. Spencer patented this technology, which he then offered free of charge to the U.S. federal government. That I didn't know. In 2001, he started a warning of the Mexican takeover of the southwestern United States, and he made a video titled Immigration Threatening the Bonds of Our Union. He then delivered to every member of Congress. In 2002, he gave a talk entitled The Second Mexican-American War at that year's American Renaissance Conference. He's been around. And isn't it amazing that the real patriots in this country, and we're talking, 18 years ago, they saw the problem coming, stepped up and tried to stem the tide. Here we are almost at the end of 2018, going into 19, and now we have migrant caravans crashing the party. Wow. Let's take this break. Mark Anderson is my guest, going to be a talk show host on this network once again. Good to have him back. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You know, Mark, I wanted to get your take on this from a journalistic perspective, but also personal. Looking at Donald Trump winning the presidency and then watching what the media is doing in this country. Now, the only consistent pro-Trump stuff that you'll hear is going to be on Fox News. The rest of them, ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, just go down the laundry list. Everybody but Fox, but even Fox is turned into a an FAUX network. It's kind of not a network anymore. Very little field reporting going on. They've adopted the style of conversational news where they'll bring up a topic and then they'll give their opinion and then ask you for your opinion of their opinion. One American News is the only, I would say, national outlet anymore that has taken the business of news seriously, and they do their news without comment. Now, they do have comment-type shows, opinion shows, but they make it known that that's what this is. But here's the other section of the real news that we do, and we kind of do it white paper, try to give you as much fact as possible, and we withhold our opinion. What I'm seeing here, and the question I have for you, is Donald Trump, has he brought out, feelings of people of America lost, or what many people would consider to be America gone, strong, independent type of people that live in a country, because we know what the little socialized movement is trying to do. We have identity politics and identity people now that they got to cleave and clove together and wilt together or wine together or whatever the case may be. Do you think, looking at this, that this is the political agenda that's being threatened and they're all coming out against them? Or is it just that Hillary didn't win the election?
My initial response is that it's both. Hillary didn't win, and therefore the agenda is being brought to bear against him. Now, of course, we grade kind of on a report card here. If Trump does the wrong thing, we call him out. If he does the right thing, we give him a little kudos. Mm-hmm. Fox News, you know, if you watch their stuff during the day, really briefly, some of their daytime reporting before Tucker Carlson comes on in the evening and Sean Hannity in the evening is a little bit more not anti-Trump, but they're asking some of the same questions and making some of the same points as like CNN or MSNBC. Chris Wallace kind of walks a fine line between supporting Trump and not supporting him. Of course, many would argue that it's not the press's job to either float Trump's boat, nor is it their job to sink his boat. And I think that that's what we try to do, me through my media efforts and you through yours, and now I'm working with you again starting Monday. We try to neither sink Trump's boat nor float it. We simply try to call it accurately as we see it, kind of a report card approach. He got an A here, he got a C here, he got an F there. Mm-hmm. That being said, I think that what Trump is doing in a crude and sometimes awkward way, he's no deep thinker, but he is a tactician. Now, one of the things the deep thinkers, many patriots of many persuasions have always had on their side is the deep thinking, understanding the Constitution, understanding what we're up against. But one thing that many patriots have lacked is being good tacticians. One thing Donald Trump does not lack is his tactical abilities. Trump is the tactician that many of us in our quoting of Jefferson and our quoting of Madison and our understanding of aspects of money and our understanding of the Constitution, and we're pretty good at understanding those things, but one thing we haven't been real good at is being a tactician. Donald Trump happens to be a good tactician. He kind of colors outside of the lines. He makes a few mistakes, and there's things I could point out, like the policy supporting the Saudis in Yemen and what's coming down on the Yemen, on the children in Yemen, and many things that are very deadly, very ugly, that should be corrected. That being said, Trump is the tactician that many of us wish we were, and he knows how to play the media and the internationalist establishment. He knows how to fake right and go left, fake left and go right. He knows how to kind of outsmart them at their own game, and that's what really pisses him off, is they've got a guy that doesn't walk the politically correct line. He's no great constitutionalist, let's face it, but he doesn't walk the politically correct line. He's a tactician. In most cases, not always, but most cases, he knows how to outsmart them, be two steps ahead of them. That pisses them off because they have not dealt with this before. They knew how to deal with Ron Paul. Ron Paul was, you know, in many ways a good thinker, in many ways a good philosopher.
They would just ignore him.
but let's face it, Ron was not the tactician that the Donald is. Mm-hmm. And that's what gives Trump that edge. He knows how to sit down at the table, have the poker face, play the cards, and always kind of come out ahead of them. And they're not used to.
Yeah, I would safely bet here that if Donald Trump pulled out the rule book, he would be public enemy number one. I mean, it would be so stated. What he's gotten is a lot of backlash because he's a misogynist. He's this, he's that, and he's the other. And I looked at that as stemming from Hillary Clinton didn't win. Her socialistic views on it takes a village. Well, folks, that's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing the villagers getting together with their identity politics and the poor me stuff. They're now bonding tightly with new officials that are being hired at our universities for multiculturalism and diversity. And these people are going on staff. I forget which university it was, but they brought in one prof to set up a this deal at a university, and he's making $250,000 a year. So now they're actively patterning and going after and teaching, if you will, anything but Constitution Republic stuff. It's the groupthink mentality, and we don't care. What I would like to see Donald Trump do, and Mark, I'm crossing my fingers now. I might have thrown a bag full of pennies in the wishing well here, but I'm hoping Trump, and I don't doubt that he's going to run for 2020. I don't see the Democrats putting anybody up there or anybody else going out in the Republican Party to get the POTUS in 2020. So let's just say that Donald Trump does. I look in his second administration to go after the banks. He's already doing it through the Department of Justice with J.P. Morgan and Silver. He's going after them because he knows that they manipulate the price of silver and gold. Well, the DOJ is now knocking on J.P. Morgan's door saying, excuse us, we need to ask you a few questions. So Donald, being the businessman that he knows, and he used that system, the fiat money system, just like every other politician did, any other president, any other Congress critter, anybody that's, well, that's what we need, and that's what we use. Well, it's the only system available. There is no alternative. We've seen them crop up in, say, Bitcoin, but everything goes back to the dollar and the private company that manages this economy and everybody else and all the politicians. So if Donald Trump in his second term goes, you know what, we need to revisit this thing. We weren't always a country with the Federal Reserve. It's been going on for more than a century, but it's time we rethink that approach and maybe backing a currency with something of value rather than just the DEBT debt. Oh, that's right. What we're paying now, and it's edging, Mark, up to servicing that debt, which means paying the interest on the principal, never touching that principal. It's edging towards $1 trillion in interest. I think it's about $600 billion within a couple of years. It'll be $1 trillion a year just to pay the Guidos out there the interest on their dirty little money.
Yeah, well put, John. Yeah, back in July, I was in Ypsilanti, Michigan, and I went through a newsstand at a Speedway station, and I saw Trump is hammering the Fed, and I picked that up. I wrote about it right away. And at that time, they were talking about that Trump was going to look at the Federal Reserve Board in the way he looks at the Supreme Court and start trying to get some different people in there. Now, obviously, that's not a solution, but it did suggest that Trump was willing to at least look at the Fed and say, these interest rate hikes are going to completely counteract what I'm trying to do for the economy. Of course, a downside of Trump's policies is arguably too much military spending. That requires a lot of borrowing, which is probably one of the major reasons, not the only one, but one of the major reasons that debt is shooting up the way you're describing, John.
Yes.
You know, being this Colossus empire, Trump's looking at it in a pragmatic sense, figuring that those defense jobs are good jobs. They pay well. He wants to be able to tell the American people that the job market is good. I get that. But being the empire is part of the reason we're in all this trouble. And that ties into the Yemen thing I mentioned a few minutes ago. This is an area where Donald Trump is lacking. Although he's trying within that realm to make some points and to do some things that are arguably forward-looking and arguably an improvement. This is, again, the tactician who's not really the history buff here, although he might surprise us if we sat him down and had a discussion about history. Maybe he'd pull out a skinny cigarette and say, well, really, I know a great deal about it, you know. But at any rate, he's trying to scold the Fed, and he's trying to call attention to the fact that the Fed makes decisions completely on its own. He's said he doesn't like Jerome Powell. He makes these sort of contradictory statements like, he's a good man, he's smart, but I want him out of there. You know, I like Jerome Powell, but he's got to go. And, you know, he plays both sides of the fence. That's part of his tactics. Well, but he's trying to call attention to the fact that the Fed has too much autonomy.
Well, yeah, because it's a private corporation. They've resisted. They've told the federal government flat out, hey, look, we're a private corporation. You don't even have the right to audit us. Well, you know, if you were General Motors, you know, it isn't like the military-industrial complex. What they produce goes and kills people. GM produces cars. unless you use one to mow down your political opponents in a street someplace in America, you know, that'd be another story. But this budget, and this is what they never want to talk about. The media in this country, oh, we need to support our troops. Oh, we're the friends of the world. We'll go any place, anywhere to go in support of our friends. We have, okay, the military budget this year was almost three quarters of $1 trillion. We are supporting 900 military bases around the world. If it was for empire and conquest, then hell, that's a pretty good start. Let's start grabbing all the goodies like the Roman Empire did, or like the British tried to do with their maritime reach around the world. At one time, the sun never set on the British Empire, and it was true. They'd go and colonize this or take over that or strike up trade deals that basically made the countries, respective countries, in name only, and it was British-run operations. I get that. But if we're supposed to be an empire and we have our military tendrils spread all over this planet, and the only thing we're doing is losing, where is the strategy behind that one? Mark, it's going to take some undoing to undo this stuff, but we need people that have a visible presence, that have a strong enough voice to start standing up and bringing this to the American people's attention, getting them to focus on it rather than just support our troops. And that's the end of that scenario, not what our military is up to, not what they're doing unnecessarily and unconstitutionally and illegally, like we're doing in Syria. Assad didn't invite the United States in, but they've got military bases. They got 9 military bases inside Syria. Assad told them, no, I don't want you here, but they come barging in anyhow. And the only reason that Assad is still alive is because the Russian military is in there. Otherwise, Assad would have been dead like Gaddafi or anybody else. They would have been gone. The next one on the list is Iran, but Russia already has a toe in that one. They have business contracts with them. They have business interests there. So it's going to be tougher to bring down Iran on this deal. We've switched in the narrative in the news cycles that, they're building nuclear weapons. Well, no, they're not. Well, now they might have long-range missiles that reach the United States. Well, so what? If you weren't over there screwing with them for almost a century, why would you care if they have missiles that might reach your shore? You know, Mark, we don't have media in there that keeps the American public informed, gives them the facts. We just don't have it. And if we did, I would venture to say we wouldn't be in half the damn trouble we're in right now.
Yeah, and it's worse than that. Not only do they not give you the facts, if you go back to a baseline of, say, 1930 or so, you had Walter Durrani of the New York Times not reporting the forced starvation in Ukraine brought on by Stalin right before, not long before, we gave Stalin umpteen billions in Lend-Lease.
Yep.
And if anybody has ever seen the list of the Lend-Lease materials that were sent, if your jaw doesn't drop, you are already dead.
That was included in Jack Otto's book, World War III. He did the complete Lend-Lease and all the materials, the tonnage and everything else.
Yeah, and so you know, you've got reporters that over time, Herbert Matthews in Cuba not telling the truth about who Castro really was, as well as Walter Durrani, who was supposed to have rubbed elbows with Aleister Crowley, the occultist. Him and Walter Durrani had more than a casual contact. Make that what you will. Make of that what you will. But the New York Times, being the so-called magazine of record that everyone wants to ape and follow, has been involved not only in not reporting, but in subversively not reporting and misrepresenting, bringing about the deaths of millions of people. The mainstream media has blood on its hands and has had for a very long time.
Well, and you know, when you talk about things like the CIA is in their newsrooms, or they have their people that are on staff that are directly connected to the intelligence communities, because we have to monitor in real time what information is coming into those news hubs, and then control it, or at least give strong suggestion as to what they should report on and what not. One of my favorites, Mark, is General Jack Keane that comes on Fox News. Now, this bright-eyed, blue-eyed individual, he comes on and he's nothing but a mouthpiece for the Pentagon and the military-industrial complex. And as we would call the neocon, political neocons in this country. That's what he is. I don't think he's ever been asked that question or has he ever denied it publicly, but I see it for what it is. And we've had in the past the Candy Crowleys. And it's true, folks, you can't put lipstick on a pig. Sorry to get so low there, but Amanpour, the same thing. These people are brought on as being experts in what they're reporting on are just the interest-laden mouthpieces for a certain segment of this country. And they actually are out there forming public opinion, but it's not known what their true agenda and, you know, what that really is and why they're there.
You know, exactly. You know, one of the ironies, John, and this is a little difficult to explain. Let me try and take a shot at it. Donald Trump, although we've acknowledged only a few of several flaws in his policies from Yemen, and we also hear about things like red flagging gun owners, and now gun owners are having their guns confiscated just because they're assumed that they might be a criminal someday down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hearing about these red flag laws, although I don't know they're federal or state laws, but there's a number of things where Trump needs to really get his game improved. But in those areas like trade and pushing back against the globalist movement, the Paris Agreement and defying the rules-based international world order that many of the globalist CFR groups want, in a number of areas where Trump is strong, the irony here is that a lot of people might say that even though we're giving Donald Trump roses and raspberries today, they might say we're being too pro-Trump. We're not being critical enough because he's still the government and the media's job is to keep the government in check. Here's the irony, though. If the government were to start doing the right thing, what if tomorrow the government started doing things constitutionally and then we were still anti-government because, hey, we need to keep the government in check? The irony would be that the government is finally doing what, at least partially, what we'd like them to do. And then why would we be anti-government then? And the irony would be that we would come across as pro-government because finally the government is doing what we've been saying it should do for decades. And then so the irony is if the government were to get more and more constitutional, we who have been anti-government would begin to sound more and more pro-government, not because we want to be pro-government, but because the government would finally be doing the right thing. And so if George Washington were in there tomorrow or James Madison, would we be as skeptical of the government as we are now?
The short answer to that would be no.
Well, right. See, so we're anti-government or skeptical of government to the exact degree that the government wanders away from the Constitution. And we're a little more pro-government to the exact degree that the government gets closer.
Inversely proportional, I think I hear you saying. And you're exactly right. And I've never heard anybody put it like that, Mark.
Well, right. Now, that doesn't mean that you would drop your guard if suddenly you had James Madison in there and his vice president was Thomas Jefferson. And we might find out they had flaws we didn't realize they had. You know, no man is perfect. But this is the irony, and this is what a lot of journalists in the alternative realm are struggling with. We don't want to sound too pro-government here, but we do see Trump doing the right thing some of the time, and we want to acknowledge it. And so now we have a leftist internationalist media system mostly, and Fox, as you pointed out correctly, John, Fox is neocon, so they're pro-Trump to a point, but you have to be careful. They're going to want Trump to be an interventionist, and so they're going to say, yeah, pro-Trump, patriotic, go America, go,
right.
Let's invade Iran,
right.
But if we invade Iran, all of a sudden we're coloring outside the lines again, we're breaking the Constitution, and Fox News is exposed as sort of a fair-weather friend of Donald Trump, egging him on to get into interventionist wars that we don't need to be in. So this is why Trump has this populist stripe to him where he balks a little bit at that. He talks big. He launched some missiles into Syria a year or two ago. I think most of them landed out in the desert. although I wouldn't want the sound of 50 or 60 cruise missiles going off in the distance. I wouldn't want to hear that sound. But it's a really tricky thing to be a journalist now with Donald Trump, albeit very imperfect and albeit many things he needs to improve. But with Donald Trump being this tactician that we haven't had before, and now we have to kind of rethink everything we do as alternative journalists and say, how do we handle this? Are we just going to be skeptical of big government across the board like we've always been? Or are we going to reinvent ourselves just a little, or at least revise what we do to reflect reality?
Right. We're running out of time here, and I want to close this hour out. As you were talking, I was just thinking, one of the most despicable people in the news or talking head that I can think of is Sean Hannity, because here's a guy that pawns himself off as he's not caught himself a constitutionalist. I'll give him that. Mm-mm. But he pawns himself off as being a conservative. And it's whatever neocon stuff, whatever anybody wants me to say and how to say it, that's how I'm going to do it. And to me, I'd much rather have a Don Lemon from CNN or who's the Bobbsey twins over here on MSNBC, the blonde and the ex-congressman. You know, I'll take that at face value because it is obvious what their political perspective is. But when you get somebody like a Sean Hannity, I had more respect when they had Hannity and Combs on Fox News, because Alan Combs never made any pretenses. He was always up front. He explained himself to the nth degree, and everybody understood his point of view, not like his friend Hannity. They couldn't have him Combs around anymore because Combs was looking more conservative than Hannity, which I found really ironic.
Well, yeah, you got to define what conservatism really is, and we won't go into that now. There isn't time.
Yeah.
But what you'll see is, you know, we might agree with Hannity on maybe being pro-life or at least skeptical about abortion and the abortion industry and taxpayers paying for
it. Yeah, the hot button points. Yeah.
And we might agree with Hannity on immigration. But as soon as you get into foreign policy is where you see the departure, the divergence.
That's right.
As soon as you cross into that realm, suddenly it's Israel can do no wrong. Fight wars for Israel. Iran is evil. Iran is, without any solid proof, is said to be the chief sponsor of terrorism, state terrorism. And so that's where the divergence happens. You keep it domestic, and you can kind of see eye to eye with Sean, at least most of the time. You go foreign policy, and all of a sudden, the huge divergence happens.
Yeah. All right. Coming up Monday, folks, 2 to 3 p.m. Central Time, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, it's going to be Stop the Presses with Mark Anderson. And I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be right before Mike Rivero. So I think it's going to be a nice afternoon lineup here on RBN. And I welcome.
Yeah, thanks a lot, John.
I welcome you back.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I look forward to it. And right. We'll talk to you then.
All righty. Sounds good. All righty. Let's take top of the hour break. Guess who else is coming in here? It's the guy that's got Tuesday and Thursday. We'll leave that up for a little surprise until you hear his voice. It's unmistakable. It's kind of as unmistakable as mine. When you hear the voice, you will know it. Step into the light. Take top of the hour break here. I'm your host, John Stattmiller. This is the National Intel Report. Take the about 2-minute break, top of the hour break, and we'll be right back with you on this Friday, 30th already of November, 2018.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.